friends, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Chris Grant, and today I'm absolutely delighted to welcome a fantastic guest. It's Matt Lacey from SurveyTech, and we're going to find out all about ground penetrating radar, or GPR for short, what it does, and what you need to know about the technology. Matt, how are you doing? Great to see you.
I'm great, thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Matt, I'm so glad we finally get to hook up on around this, because I've loved all the videos, the informative videos, and your passion for survey equipment and using the technology is fantastic. And I should risk it before we plug for you already, some great videos from SurveyTech that you should check out. But today we're going to focus a wee bit on the ground penetrating radar. So Matt, before we go on to that, do you want to just tell us a wee bit of background about yourself and how you end up with SurveyTech and what you do and what the business does?
Yeah, so SurveyTech is, as it sounds, a company that does technology for surveying. We do a broad range of instruments. I like to think we basically have a sort of curated basket of technology that will fulfill most, if not all, surveying tasks. So everything from what we're talking about, you know, seeing what's in the ground with ground penetrating radar, CATS and Jennies. Then, you know, if you travel further down the life of the built environment, we've got machine control, which I know you've done some great podcasts on. We've got GNSS receivers, total stations for the actual build. We also do the mass support cameras for construction progress and reality capture, the Leica Geosystems range of laser scanners, and the GeoSLAM mobile laser scanners, and we also do DJI drones. So it's really like I would say a sort of fully formed basket of technology. So any sort of question that people come to us with, we try and put together a really integrated solution that uses all of the technology at our fingertips, we can hopefully put together a really integrated solution.
Yeah, I've seen that. You've done some really good stuff on even just doing digital twins. I know you've done a webinar recently on digital twins. Now, I know this podcast is not about digital twins, but I'll maybe have you back on again to talk about that, and maybe as a separate podcast some point in the future. But yeah, again, check out, you've got some great stuff there, and SurveyTech. But Matt, let's maybe just get to it then just now. Can you just give us a brief overview of ground penetrating radar technology? You know, what is it? What does it essentially do?
Yeah, so I think one thing to say is it's not magic or incomprehensible as a lot of I think preconceptions of the technology is. It's either sort of you see sales literature which gives an image of the ground peeled back, so you know, it's like your Superman's X-ray vision. And then sometimes people, I think, expecting to see nice clear pipes appear on the screen as soon as they turn the instrument on, they end up disappointed. The reality is it's a geophysical technique that produces data. And though the visualization of the data has got better and better, it's still a question of being able to process and interpret it. So that it's useful. What is it? It's an acronym, first of all, radar, radio detection and rating and ranging. We're also probably familiar with sonar, sound detection and ranging and LIDAR with light. So all of the products and brands in the field of GPR work in effectively the same way. They transmit high-frequency electromagnetic waves in the UHF, VHF frequency range of the radio spectrum, and then they interpret the reflections that they received. And that in its essence, is what GPR is.
Okay, right. And you know what? It's one of these things, Matt. I mean, I was a construction manager for most of my life, or a site engineer, but I never... I can only recall a scenario where I've maybe used it once, and you know, and I don't know whether maybe you shed some light on it. But as an industry, are we using the technology enough, or maybe in the right way, you know, and maybe could you outline a few scenarios where you might use it to put into some context?
Yeah, absolutely. So GPR can see contrast sort of changes. So it can detect most things underground. It's very commonly used to locate features in the ground, concrete, masonry, asphalt. So examples of the uses would be locating metal underground, voids, timber. Effectively, any material that is sufficiently different from the stuff around it. So, the higher the difference in the word they use is permittivity between the different materials, the better the GPR can see it. Now, that means that the most common way that it's used in construction is utility surveys. So it's being used to trace pipes and cables and so forth. And I guess the probably the most famous way it's used because of time team is for archaeology. And so what they're seeing is they're looking for is difference caused by different things that have been built and then in the different layers of time. So I guess in those two different examples, you're seeing a big metal cable underground, or you're seeing a former house, and both will show up in different ways. And I think the big application to flag for construction users, I think, is structural surveys. Because I think utility surveys are pretty well known that you can use it as that. But structural surveys, it's fantastically useful because you can get a handheld one and use it to map out the rebar. And you can also use it to find voids in the concrete. And, you know, I've even supplied it to a client who wanted to establish the depth of tarmac on a bridge deck. And
All right, okay.
I think that just shows how when it's used well, how granular you can get in terms of the data if you know what you're doing. So that's, you know, a user who's well versed in GPR. But what's really been an eye opener since we started selling ProSec Screening Eagle, which is our main ground penetrating radar brand, is that there are so many applications that with the right training, you can really use it effectively. And the other example that we recently supplied one to the Bank of England, and their facilities management team had wanted to avoid drilling into water pipes that had been set in the walls of their Grade II listed building. Obviously, it's a big issue if they drill into them. Now they had been using thermal cameras, but they had to turn on the heating for the whole building to try and find them. It's not practical. It's very expensive of building of that size to do that. So they instead got a ProSec GP8800, which is a handheld ground penetrating radar, and they're able to trace where the pipes are set into the walls, and then they're even able to use augmented reality to project where the pipes are so they can see them before they drill. Now that these are
Fantastic.
facilities management guys, they're not specialist utility surveyors, they're not you know, GPR experts, but with a few days training, they're able to visualize and see exactly where the pipes are. So I guess what I'm saying is, without getting into the technical language of dielectric constants of permittivity and all of these, you know, albeit useful words, you can learn a lot about the technology and how to visualize what you're seeing beneath the surface and just really use it effectively.
So how does the AR work with that, Matt? How does that integrate with it? How does that work?
So the controller on the GP8000 is an iPad, and you put a thing on the wall where you've scanned, And then you hold up the iPad and you can see your scan projected onto where it actually happened.
Right.
I'll have to send you over a picture of me using it after the podcast, and maybe you can put it
Yeah,
out as the
that would be good. No, that would be good.
because yeah, I'm pointing at the AR with the pipes projected onto the ceiling. It just shows exactly
Right.
how useful it is.
So would that be what we'd call an old money, a cover meter? The same is it the same
No,
technology, or is it a different technology
no.
altogether?
So a cover meter effectively is like a big, large magnet.
Right.
So cover meters will only see metal.
Okay.
So cover meters are really, really useful for mapping out your rebar. Really useful for that. But GPR will allow you to see so much more than just rebar. So
Okay.
it'll be, a water pipe or whatever. You can
Sure.
that will look different on
Right.
GPR, whereas you can't see it with a cover meter. We'll probably come on to this, but you can
Yeah.
use the two of them in conjunction with each other.
Okay. So, I mean, and see in GPR, can you see rebar as well quite well then?
Yeah, absolutely. So because metal is so different to concrete, the radar basically bounces right back at you. They appear clear as day. You'll see that the what's called the hyperbola, it's sort of a perfect boomerang shape in the B scan, and so you'll see rebar clear as day.
So that must be really useful in terms of like doing like structural. If you've got to draw into something precast or something where you absolutely can't, or a bridge deck or a stressing cable or something like that, it must be really useful to
Yeah,
avoid that kind
and
of thing.
it'll go much deeper than most cover meters as well. So the GP8000 does 80 centimeters depth, and that's just a handheld one. So most cover meters won't get that range. So you the other thing is you can, if there are two sheets of rebar, you can potentially see both and map them out. Now there are difficulties because, as I said, the radar just bounces straight off them, so that can sometimes screen some of the stuff below. So
Okay.
that's why it's useful to know what you're doing. And we are going to be setting up a whole training course that we send our clients on, as well as supplying the equipment. So it's a kind of holistic approach
Sure.
to the technology.
Yeah, no, I think that's half the battle, Matt. Certainly my experience, with technology like this, if you're not familiar with it, you just tend to shy away from it, or you're not getting the right through the right training, So, but maybe that's something we're going to touch maybe on that later on. So maybe come back to the subject of training in a little while. But can just for now, can you take us through the process of using the technology, from the scanning to getting useful data from the tool? What's involved in this, and what kind of information do you produce?
Yeah, so I'll just use the example of the handheld one rather than, because you have they come in a few different shapes and sizes. You can have one where you're pulling it behind a car and then you're processing all the data afterwards. You can have one where you're pushing it along, and in terms of the sort of live data, it will depend how many antennae you have.
Okay.
So if you've got lots of antennae, you have to sort of go back to the office generally and process the data, because you can't sort of mark out as you go. Whereas with fewer antennae, you can kind of mark as you go, and you can roll it back if you see something and you say, oh yeah, there's a rebar or
Okay.
whatever. So with the handheld one, there's kind of two modes. There's either a line scan or an area scan. With a line scan, it is what it sounds like. You just roll it across. Then if you see something, you go, oh, okay, I can mark there and roll it back. And generally you'll see these, what I mentioned before, the hyperbola, this boomerang type shape where when the radar has bounced off it. With the area scan, that kind of allows you to visualize a bit more, I guess, interactively. So you roll it like a sort of in a crisscross shape, as if you're trying to draw out a noughts and crosses board, if you get what I mean. So you do that, and then it tells you to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You can make your grid as big as you want. And then it processes it in the tablet, and you can then create a full 3D image of what's beneath. And then you can create a slice and move down almost like the layers of an onion, and see what everything looks like at each depth. And so another thing you need to do with GPR is it matters what the medium you're traveling through is. So everything has a dielectric constant, and that effectively just means how quickly the radar goes through it. And so one of the major factors in this will be water content. So you will get vastly different results depending on the medium you're working in, and you have to kind of calibrate your system to work on that. And you can the two ways to calibrate it are you fit the hyperbola, so you kind of you make the boomerang fit to the right shape, and that will make sure that the depths are all correct. Or you can use your cover meter, and you see the rebar at that depth. And then you say, oh, that rebar's at that depth, and it will fit everything to it. So that those are the but yeah, you can create those visualizations in the field, and then yeah, you can even do things like the AR and project it onto to what you're looking at. With the bigger arrays, you tend to process the data in the office, and you often would use a GNSS receiver so that everything has a national grid coordinate. And then you can go back to it, and it's all geo-referenced.
Well, you were talking about surfaces there. Maybe just going a wee bit more about that, because is it just like concrete and tarmac and things like that, or can you if you got muck or uneven ground, is that a bit of a problem, I guess, with this? Is that some of the limitations of this technology, Matt, or?
So the water content of the ground will really affect it. So it's a geophysical technique, and it follows certain rules, and so certain ground conditions, such as heavy clay soils, if they're waterlogged, it just won't work at all. And to be honest, if it's really like bumpy and stuff, and it's bouncing all over the place, and that's no good either.
But in terms of, obviously there's a lot of clients using this technology, and as you say, utility companies, I imagine, and you see even sounds like FM people are using that. But so do you want to just tell us a wee bit then the key benefits that clients realize because of using the technology?
Yeah, I mean, so it, as with all sort of non-destructive testing, you are being able to test something without doing something destructive. So it's a way of understanding what's beneath the surface before you do something like drilling or digging. And that generally in construction will stop you hitting something with your drill or excavator that, not only save you money from melting drill bits or whatever, but potentially save lives if you've traced the gas main with GPR rather than digging through it. That's a very tangible benefit. Absolutely. But there are sort of there are as many benefits as there are applications. In archaeology, when it's been used to map out graveyards, so that allows you to know where everything is buried rather than going up and digging up bodies,
Yes, of course. And I mean, I would think even now, though, Matt, I mean, every project now that there's quite rightly now there's a lot of archaeology or the kind of peripherals. We would consider peripheral in the past, but really are really important to preserving heritage. So, you know, it's these must be really good tools for that type of thing, and I would imagine. And yeah, I remember seeing the GPR on an episode of Line of Duty, you know, being a
Oh,
dead body
really?
or something. Yeah, so
Yeah.
yeah, and again, well, like, you know, just when you talk about archaeologists, as what would that look like then? What would that what would I mean, what would as a, you talk about this hyperbole shape. Just to try, and maybe because people maybe don't know what you maybe that hyperbole means, you know, in terms of that shape, unless if they've never seen what the readout looks. And yes, we'll share some of these images maybe
Yeah,
as part of the pit, you know, I think it'd be useful, you know.
it's very visual. I think a lot of these things will come with experience, and you'll see different shapes and things in the data, which is why I sort of said with the Bank of England, we knew the sort of thing they're looking for, and they're always scanning in concrete. So actually, a couple of days training, and they're ready to go. You know, they're finding it now. Trying to discern the different strata. Will be the image looks different there. A back wall of the concrete looks different. It's difficult to really explain what a GPR readout looks like without just sort of showing examples.
No, absolutely. 'Cause I was on a training course a couple of years ago, and it was just all looking at how the hyperboles you're talking about. And but I guess as you say, that training part must be the real key part of it, because it's then what you're looking for, and you're obviously training the people what shapes these are, and you're actually going and actually showing them. And I guess that's the key to it, because if you're just somebody just hired it and you're just scanning it and you're seeing lots of hyperboles, I guess as a rister, you're not actually interpreting the data correctly. Is that right? Well,
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, I think there's always a balance, isn't there, between democratizing the technology and sort of giving it out to people who frankly don't know what they're doing, and actually it's a bit of a risk to them because of things like I was saying with the waterlogged ground. If you just went out and started using it and thought you were seeing things that you weren't, you know, it you need to know the rules of the technology and what certain features look like in order to really get the best from it.
Sure. And I guess that's kind of leads on really quite nicely to this next question then, Matt. Yeah, how does the GPR technology compare with a Cat and Jenny? You know, we're talking about in terms of the buried services here. You know, I take it's just another tool in the box that we can reach to help prevent damaging services. But you maybe just get a wee contrast there, maybe be useful.
The first thing to say is that they're totally complementary technologies. You know, you don't buy a GPR and then throw the Cat and Jenny in the bin. You are using as many different techniques to build up the best possible picture of what is underground. So you use them in, you know, w alongside each other. So Cat and Jennies are often called EML locators because they're electromagnetic locators. They pick up the electromagnetic waves created by live current. So when you're in power mode on your cable locator, that's what you're picking up, which means they're brilliant for tracing live cables. The other modes, you also have radio waves on the radio mode, and then on Jenny mode, where you use a generator, and depending on brand, it'll put out different frequencies, but generally you get 33 kilohertz signal that's being pumped out. So you use it in those three modes, and you try and map out everything you can see using them. And then you use GPR to confirm and to build up even more of a picture underground. And especially, let's say, we find some stuff, but we won't necessarily see a void, let's say, for a structural survey, whereas GPR will allow you to potentially identify that. So there are always strengths and weaknesses, and if you can use different techniques to build up more of a picture, that's the best way to work.
Yeah, that's quite interesting you say that, because I have spent a lot of time in the water industry. And usually when we see GPR surveys, it's usually on a drawn from pre-construction information. But there's a real focus, obviously, on the Cat and Jenny and using that, you know, for preventing services. But I'm just wondering, are we using that GPR? Could we get more information out of that to actually really, really help, you know, just take that up a notch with, you know, reducing service and utility strikes? And it sounds like what you're saying, we can and we should be looking into it a bit more. Again, another tool in the box. As you say, it's not everywhere you can use it, but certainly, it certainly sounds like a great tool for that. You know, and then, Matt, are there any more surveying or geolocating tools you can use, like GNSS with GPR? And I think you mentioned that already.
Yeah,
That's is that just to geolocate things or what?
absolutely. So ProSec do the GS 8000, which is a push along one, and it has the GNSS receiver built into it. So you can go out, and a bit like I was saying, you know, you do the grid with the handheld one. When you have a receiver built in, you are able to effectively just map out wherever you like and do a sort of free walk and build up a picture, because everywhere you go is being saved in terms of your location. So you can walk your little grid, or as much of a grid as you can by eye, but it's all being saved in terms of your route. So then, you know, if a surveyor wants to come out and work off that data, it's all in National Grid. It's all marked out, and you can really process the data afterwards as well. So you can really clean it up, and when you really know what you're doing, you know, you can identify each one of those services and the run of them and all of their National Grid coordinates from where to where, and then once you've got that drawing, you can load it into things like machine control and have it as a background map, so that the excavator drivers know that they should not be digging there because there's a gas main there. So that's the real advantage. You know, if it is in National Grid, it'll work with everything else.
So that's you start to integrate with machine control. You can start putting controls in your machine control to stop the digger and all. You know, lots of automates like semi-automation you can put in there as well. So is there are we, so that's on a modeling. So you're and that was what question I was going to ask you there, Matt, about 3D modeling. Are we anywhere near getting, you know, you see a lot of stuff obviously digital twins and 3D models above the ground. But when it comes to below the ground, you know, because it seems to be hidden, you know, and people coming afterwards, it's very, very, it's not been really mapped at all now. But are we in that realm now where we're starting to more accurately map and almost get a digital twin of that kind of underground here? I know that's a utopia. We'll never get there, but we must be got the technology exists to do that now.
And it's a really good point, actually. This sort of technology should absolutely be used, you know, at the earliest possible stage in the project, you know, at the design phase, when things can still be changed. Because you know what? It makes a massive difference if there's a gas main running through the corner of a site and you've designed a whole building to go in that corner, you know. Like, you need that information early on, because it will potentially cost you millions l later down the line. So yeah, I think I really think at the earliest possible stage of any project, you should have a full geo-referenced utility survey. And this is the other thing about GPR is, you know, you can learn things about the structure of the soil and things like that that really can inform the design in ways that I think we haven't even scratched the surface.
So when you say that, so like the layers on the GPR, could that correspond with, say, you get boreholes for a site? Because obviously, a lot of sites still do a lot of boreholes. Yeah, you'll find infinity pile or sheet pile or whatever. I take it
Oh
the
yes.
different layers would kind of you could that's another check that you can do to check that your boreholes are, you know, the information you've been given is correct.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a big application for sure. And again, if you're using it with a GNSS receiver storing the data, you can really sort of make sure it's all properly mapped out.
Brilliant. Brilliant. So, listen, I think we've kind of done the mapping part covered it quite extensively there. So, when we just talk about the software, what software do you use to process this data? And is it easy to use? And maybe just give us an idea of what the types of software that you can use. And then, I know, final question here, there's quite a string of questions here, but can any of the data or the software packages allow you to export information to a digital twin or BIM model? Now, I think we've maybe answered that partly there in the previous question, but quite a bit to go at there, Matt.
And actually, I think the software is one of the potential stumbling blocks to more widespread adoption of the technology. And there are lots of different brands doing it. So I'm just going to talk about Prosek Screening Eagle because that's the one I have experience with. And what's brilliant about their software, is called Prosek Live, is that you can do so much in the field. You can really visualize it. Like I was saying, you create a full 3D model that you can go up and down in the slice with, so you can see the different depths. You can make the rebar lattice start to look like a rebar lattice,
Yes.
just by basically turning down the noise a bit of the other stuff. And so I think they also have a software package called Inspect, where you can build a sort of digital twin using the LiDAR on an iPhone, and then you can save the data into that. So in terms of the digital twin functionality built into Prosek's package, that is absolutely the way things are going. So yeah, and there are also desktop softwares that you can use, but yeah, a lot of it is really just tracing the line of those utilities and making sure that it you're going from this data readout into something that's intelligible to other people. This is the
Sure.
line of what we
Sure.
think is a gas main,
Sure.
and this is the location.
And is that then, just in t simple terms, going back to the hyperbole? So you've taken this readout on the hyperbole on your reader when you're scanning it, and that's then taken into some sort of, usable, kind of understandable digital representation of that. Is that essentially what the software does?
And this is very much in Survey-Tech's plan for the new year, is to absolutely do a step-by-step guide to show you what the process looks like. And yeah, little plug for our YouTube here.
Right.
We're going to be doing a lot of educational videos across our range of technology. We're going to have one on Matterport, one on machine control that have already been filmed, and then there's going to be quite a few on ground penetrating radar. So if you search for Survey-Tech in YouTube, you'll find our videos there. But I agree with you. It's difficult to describe on a podcast, so
No.
I'm tempted to basically say we're going to have the video. But if you do want to see what it looks like in action, Screening Eagle is the name of the brand, and you can they've got a series of training videos on there.
Okay.
But I hope to do one myself where I really talk it through from start to finish.
Brilliant.
So that absolutely will happen in the new year, Chris.
No, fantastic, Matt. Fantastic. We'll keep our eye out for that then. So, Matt, you've outlined quite a few useful scenarios there where we might use ground penetrating radar. Are there situations where you most definitely should not use it or cannot use it?
Well, yeah, we talked about the ground
Yeah, yeah,
conditions
yeah.
being an issue. I think basically, ground condition, lack of training and understanding, those are
The two main
the
ones.
two main ones.
So, right, so we've covered that off. That's all right. I just want to make sure, because I still think there's maybe a lot of myths around people's perception of ground penetrating radar. They might have just had like everything that maybe you tried the technology once, didn't think it was much, or they went a one day course and didn't think much of the course, or think, well, that's not much use to me, type of thing,
I mean, if you're just mapping out rebar, I would, or just, you've got concrete you're about to drill into it, you want to know whether you'll hit rebar or not. Something like a cover meter is easier to use. So I would say keep that as an option. There are some other complementary technologies that we talked about, the Cat and Jenny. Ultrasonic echo is useful for finding the strength and uniformity of concrete. So you can use the GPR to find a PT duct, and then use the ultrasound to find out if it's adequately grouted. So the voids really ping up well on the ultrasound. So I guess it's about kind of investing in the training, and then you'll really start to understand what applications it's best in.
Sure.
Talk to us about it. I guess the technology is advancing so quickly that some applications might not be possible now, but in 3 or 4 years, suddenly they are.
Sure. And Matt, maybe just at this point, just because we're talking about underground services, I'll just point everyone to make sure we're not advocating for anything other, you know, there's HSE guidelines out there. So we're not advocating to reinvent the wheel or anything here. We're very much very focused. Like these tools are to try and help you still comply with the HSG guidance 47, I think it is, for avoid service avoidance. So yeah, I just thought I'd better put that in there, you know.
I think this is something we did we've emphasized a couple of times. You absolutely should continue using your Cat and Jenny as well as this technology. It's not the case that you roll a GPR over the ground and then say, oh, we're good. You know, that is not the way to work. And as you dig, you should continue using the Cat and Jenny. That's the other big message.
Just to clarify, everyone, this is not a service avoidance podcast. This is just understanding what technology can do to help you mitigate the effects of anything like that. So what skills, experience and competencies are required to get to grips with the technology, you know, and what does the training look like, and can you outline some of the key errors that proper training will help you avoid?
We generally would say you'd need at least 2 or 3 days of training that we organize with the manufacturer. As we discussed, using Cat and Jenny helps you build up a better picture of what's underground, so you're effectively confirming. The big thing that training allows you to do is interrogate your data. You're not just creating these visualizations, you're able to look at the what's called the B scan and see those hyperbola and understand what they mean, you know, what rebar looks like, what a back wall looks like. And so that understanding how to use it with different mediums that you work in and understanding what different underground ordnance looks like on a GPR, that's the key lesson to learn from it. And sadly, it's not really one we could do on a podcast because it's very visual.
Yes, indeed it is. Indeed it is, Matt. But Matt, maybe at this point, you know, you just tell us a little bit more then how you're helping customers and how you can help them adopt and get the most out of the technology for their business or whatever they do.
So far, we've written some educational articles. I've written a shortish guide to ground penetrating radar that's on survey-tech.co.uk. So that just explores some of the key points about GPR and what different wavelengths mean and things like that. So that's available to read. We're going to be doing some videos on our YouTube. We organise training and we do sort of site demonstrations if people are, you know, thinking of investing in the technology. We come out to meet them and show it in action on a real site, just so that they can gain an understanding of what the opportunities are with this technology if it's used well.
Yeah. And where are you based, Matt? Where are you based?
We're based in London, but we're happy to travel a reasonable amount, although you're up in Glasgow, aren't you? Which I was very tempted to go to your event you were having, but it was it just didn't fall right.
Yeah.
And I came to Glasgow a couple of weeks afterwards as well, which was a shame. I could
Is
have
that,
done the
that's
both.
one of these things. Yeah. So, Matt, what should people do next if they want to get in touch with you then?
They can find us on all of the socials. So we have LinkedIn, Facebook, all of those pages. We have a website, www.survey-tech.co.uk, and you'll find our email and telephone numbers there. But the first stage for them, they read the articles, have a little look at the technology from ProSec, Screening Eagle on YouTube and things, and give us a call. We're always happy to chat through the application that you're thinking of. And it's amazing how many places that GPR really can be effective.
Well, on that note, thanks very much for your time today, Matt. That's been absolutely brilliant. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Cheers.